Hello, and welcome to GCSE Literature Essentials. I'm your host, and today we're diving into one of the most charming yet deceptively complex poems in the OCR anthology, The Passionate Shepherd to His Love by Christopher Marlowe. Now, you might be thinking, it's just a love poem, right? Well, yes and no. On the surface, it's a shepherd making romantic promises to win over his beloved. But here's the thing. This poem is actually a masterclass in persuasive rhetoric, and understanding that is absolutely key to scoring highly in your Component 02 exam. Over the next 10 minutes, we'll break down exactly what makes this poem tick, explore the methods Marlowe uses to create that dreamy, idealized world, and most importantly, I'll share the exam techniques that will help you compare this poem confidently with another text from the anthology. Let's get started. Core concepts. 5 minutes. First, let's talk about what's actually happening in this poem. The speaker, a shepherd, is trying to persuade a woman, often called the nymph, to come and live with him in the countryside. He's not just asking nicely, though. He's painting this incredibly vivid, idealized picture of pastoral life, promising her gifts like beds of roses, a cap of flowers, and a kirtle embroidered all with leaves of myrtle. Here's the crucial point. This is not a realistic depiction of rural life. It's a fantasy. Marlowe is working within a literary tradition called the pastoral, which goes all the way back to ancient Greek and Roman poetry. The pastoral tradition idealizes country life as simple, pure, and eternally beautiful. Shepherds don't worry about bad weather or dying sheep, they just play music and make flower crowns. It's escapism, essentially. Now, why does this matter for your exam? Because when you're comparing this poem with another from the anthology, you need to identify the tension between the ideal and the real. The shepherd's promises are hyperbolic, they're exaggerated. He's using persuasive language to seduce the nymph, but notice something important. She never speaks. We never hear her response. That silence is significant, and it's something you can explore in your analysis. Let's look at Marlowe's methods. The poem is written in iambic tetrameter, that's 8 syllables per line, with an unstressed stressed pattern, "Come live with me and be my love." This creates a bouncing, song-like rhythm that feels light and easy, almost hypnotic. It's the kind of rhythm you could sing, and that's deliberate. The shepherd is trying to charm the nymph, and the form itself is part of that charm. The rhyme scheme is AABB, simple rhyming couplets. Love rhymes with prove, fields with yields. This regularity reinforces the sense of harmony and order in the shepherd's world. Everything rhymes, everything fits together perfectly, just like his idealized vision of pastoral life. Then there's the repetition. Notice how the shepherd keeps saying, "and I will make thee." That's anaphora, the repetition of a phrase at the start of successive clauses, and it's a classic persuasive technique. It builds momentum, it sounds confident, and it makes the promises feel more concrete, even though they're actually quite vague and impossible. Let's talk about the imagery. Marlowe uses a technique called the blazon, where the speaker lists gifts or attributes in a catalog-like fashion. Beds of roses, 1,000 fragrant posies, a cap of flowers, a kirtle, fair-lined slippers, a belt of straw and ivy buds. Each gift is more extravagant than the last, but here's the thing. These aren't practical gifts. A bed of roses would be uncomfortable and would wilt. A belt of straw? That's not exactly durable. The gifts are symbolic, they represent beauty and nature, but they're not realistic. And that brings us to the final stanza, which is absolutely crucial. The shepherd says, "If these delights thy mind may move, then live with me and be my love." Notice that conditional if. The entire argument rests on whether the nymph is persuaded by these delights. The shepherd is essentially saying, "If you believe in this fantasy, then accept me." But what if she doesn't? What if she sees through the hyperbole? That's the unspoken question hanging over the whole poem. Exam tips and common mistakes. 2 minutes. Right. Let's talk about how to use this poem in your exam. You'll be asked to compare The Passionate Shepherd with another poem from the anthology, and you need to focus on methods and effects, that's AO2, while maintaining a critical comparative argument, that's AO1. Here's the biggest mistake candidates make: writing 2 separate essays, one on each poem, and then sticking them together with a weak concluding sentence like "both poems are about love." That will not get you into the higher levels. Instead, you need to integrate your comparison throughout. Move back and forth between the poems within each paragraph. For example, you might write, "Marlowe uses hyperbolic imagery such as beds of roses to construct an idealized pastoral world, whereas in A Paralinguisti, second poem, Paralinguistic, the speaker uses more realistic, perhaps even harsh imagery to present a contrasting view of love or nature. See how that's comparative from the start? Another common mistake is treating the poem as a narrative, as if it's telling a story. It's not. It's a rhetorical argument, a persuasive speech. The shepherd is trying to win someone over, and your analysis should focus on how Marlowe constructs that persuasion through form, structure, and language. Also, avoid bringing in irrelevant biographical details about Marlowe. Yes, he was a playwright. Yes, he died young in mysterious circumstances. But none of that is relevant to the meaning of this poem. Stick to the text and the methods. In terms of timing, you've got 45 minutes for this question. Spend 5 minutes planning, 35 minutes writing, and 5 minutes checking. Make sure you're writing about both poems equally. Don't spend 30 minutes on Marlowe and then rush the second poem in 5 minutes. Quick fire, recall quiz 1 minute. Okay, let's test your recall. I'll give you 5 seconds after each question to answer in your head. 1. What is the rhyme scheme of the passionate shepherd to his love? The answer is A, A, B, simple rhyming couplets. 2. What is the meter or rhythm pattern of the poem? Iambic tetrameter, 8 syllables per line. 3. What literary tradition does this poem belong to? The pastoral tradition, idealizing rural life. 4. What persuasive technique does Marlowe use when he repeats, "And I will make thee"? Anaphora, the repetition of a phrase at the start of clauses. 5. What is significant about the nymph's silence in the poem? It leaves the outcome uncertain and invites the reader to question whether the shepherd's promises are convincing. How did you do? If you got all 5, brilliant. If not, go back and review those concepts. Summary and sign off. 1 minute. To wrap up, The Passionate Shepherd to His Love is a persuasive pastoral lyric that uses hyperbolic imagery, song-like rhythm, and repetitive structure to construct an idealized vision of rural romance. The key to analyzing it well in your exam is to focus on how Marlowe's methods create that persuasive effect and to compare those methods with the techniques used in your second poem. Remember, this is not a story, it's an argument. The shepherd is trying to seduce the nymph with beautiful language, but the poem leaves open the question of whether she's convinced that ambiguity is what makes it so rich for analysis. Keep practicing your comparative paragraphs, make sure you're embedding quotes fluently, and always, always link your analysis back to the question. You've got this. Thanks for listening to GCSE Literature Essentials. Good luck with your revision, and I'll see you next time.